Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And as you know, the text number I was giving out yesterday, and we'll continue to do so, we've said we would try between the start of yesterday's programme and the end of the programme on Friday over that period, as well as doing our normal Liveline stories, but to take up the offer made to us nearly 3 weeks ago now by a couple, David and Imelda. They don't want any publicity from it, but they have been long-standing supporters, significant supporters financially of Laura Lynn. They want to give more, especially in the COVID world that we're living in, but they also want to raise the profile of Laura Lynn. So what they've said is, if we put it out to Liveline listeners between now and Friday to donate up to, hopefully more, but up to 200,000 to Laura Lynn, this couple, Dave and Imelda, will match that. In other words, for every €4, when you text the word Laura Lynn, one word, Laura Lynn to 50300, you think you're donating £4, you're donating £8. It's double the money. If you go down to lauralynn.ie and make a donation there, it's on the front page, very straightforward. If you donate £20, it's £40, 50, 100, 500, it's 1,000, believe it or not. It's an incredible amount. If you want to, phone line is 1890 998919, if you feel it, or you can send a cheque to Laura Lynn Children's Hospice, Leopardstown, Dublin 18. But that's the way. So as of about an hour ago, and I mentioned it when I was on with Ronan, I think we got up to just close to 150,000, which is incredible. Given that we were on the air yesterday for 75 minutes, and by I think the end of that 75 minutes, we were well over 100,000, which means 200,000, which is spectacular. So if you can, if you are able, I know it's a difficult time for everybody, and people have their different charities, but the stories we've been hearing from about Laura Lynn yesterday and the Children's Hospice and their 11 years in operation next year. But the stories, I knew there was an enormous amount of goodwill out there for charities generally and for Laura Lynn. But the outpouring of fervour and joy and uplift and support for the Laura Lynn Hospice and all the work they do in and out of the grounds of that beautiful space, Leopardstown, has been joyful, as I said earlier. Paula Swain. Paula, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
Good, thanks. You want to tell us what Laura Lynn means to you.
I do. I was listening to the show yesterday and all the fabulous families that were ringing in to talk all about the staff and how wonderful a place and everything like that. But it was from my perspective as well. I reiterate everything that they said is amazing. But the support they give the family, like everybody says they care for the child in question, which is fantastic. But they actually, the extra support that they give to the immediate family is just fantastic. Like, you know, when Evan is in hospital and I get a new diagnosis from him, from the doctors, I can use Laura Lynn as a soundboard and chat with the nurses just for extra clarification around things as well, you know. Like, it's a centre, it's a house for children with life-limiting conditions, but the emphasis is on living life, and they have allowed us as a family to live. So Evan has a twin brother. Evan is 16. Yeah. Okay. He's a twin brother, Luke, and a younger sister, Ruby, who is nearly 12. But Laura Lynn allows us to do things that every other family takes for granted. So with COVID, everybody has been out walking. They've been to the beach. They've been up a mountain. We can't go up a mountain. Yeah. We can't go to a beach. You know, people reassess how they've been shopping because of COVID. That's the way we always think. They've been reassessing where they in close spaces. That's the way we always think, because Evan would have respiratory issues all the time. So for us, there's always that concern around. Now, COVID definitely has heightened it for us and that, you know. But Laura Lynn has just allowed us as a family to act as a family and live as a family and enjoy each other, as opposed to Evan being the centre of our attention all the time, 100%. He needs constant monitoring, and it's all the time we're thinking of him going.
Of course. And Paula, when did you realise that Evan was different?
Evan was born perfect. He's twin.
Yeah.
So they were born perfect. And then at the age of 16 months, he choked on a piece of carrot.
Okay.
And was rushed up to Tala and then transferred to ICU in Temple Street.
Mm-hmm.
And was on life support there for 10 days. So a lot of brain scans were done during that time. So as a result of the choking incident, the vomit had gone down into his lungs and cut off his air supply. So he would have been diagnosed from that day as having acquired brain injury.
Yeah.
So he is, his medical diagnosis is quadriplegic cerebral palsy.
Right.
But we don't dwell on it, Joe. We don't do pity. We live life. We went through a stage of in hospital for 7 months in Temple Street and then 22 months out in the National Rehab while I had his twin brother at home and trying to manage rearing his twin brother. So that has taken, it's not that it's taken its toll on us, it's actually made us live life and appreciate life. So all the milestones his twin brother is going through, we use measure. So we knew Evan was different. We knew we'd all hoped that he'd make recoveries and physically he'd make recoveries and his brain would start to regenerate, but that never happened. So you sort of accept that and go, okay, now let's live life the way we have to live it. So Laura Lynn has allowed us to do that, and they're absolutely fantastic. I sent you in a picture there of...
Yeah, gorgeous, with the grandparents.
Is it grandparents? With the grandparents,
yeah.
Yeah, on National Grandparents Day. So they do them days, so Evan doesn't get to spend an afternoon or a sleepover in his grandparents like loads of other children get to do. He doesn't get that relationship, but the Laura Lynn allows days like that where the grandparents are accepted into the building and you do art and you paint and you sing and you do puppets and you make fantastic memories.
And who called it the hotel for kids? The Laura Lynn Children's
Hospital. Ruby. The first night we went there. So we've only been engaged in their service in the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So the very first night we were all invited out to sleep there. So that we got a sense of it as well and that we were comfortable with Evan there. So it was actually more for us, for comfort for us, rather than for comfort for Evan, because they're so used to dealing with children with like Evan. But it was more for us to put our mind at ease that we could sleep on the premises. And if we were a bit anxious at any stage during the night, we could always pop down. So the kids came in and dropped Evan in and myself in, and their review was, oh my God, this is a hotel for kids. I'd love to stay there. So Ruby was saying today that it still hasn't changed, you know, so it's still a hotel for kids.
Fantastic. And when will you, insofar as you know, when will you have to avail of Laura Lynn again, so to speak?
We're lucky enough, because of COVID, all the respite hours were all cut.
Yeah.
So we've 3 nights booked in for next week. So Evan's going to go in on Tuesday night for 3 nights. So once we know that's a given, we can then plan. So we're heading off up to Donegal for 3 nights. So we will be at the beach every day. We'll be in the sea every day. We'll be up mountains. We'll be doing stuff that we can't do with Evan. And that's our window to try and pack all them activities in that loads of other families have been doing all summer long. But that's our chance to do it as a family. And look, I know loads of families have loads of different mix of children and that's like, you know, but kids do grow up in families and families do get to experience really good experiences along the way. But Evan doesn't grow out of that care need. And for us, his care need has increased hugely over the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh,
so
we're
way more limited. So respiratory-wise, it just now hasn't gone the way we thought it would.
And does Evan require 24 attendance, 24-hour?
Yeah.
That's what we were hearing yesterday as well.
We do physio. Respiratory is his biggest issue now. His twin brother is 16, 6 foot tall and a size 12 shoe.
Yeah.
So when they were born, the doctor told me they were going to be tall with big feet.
Yeah.
So Evan has struggled with all his grown both all along. So he's after having 3 spinal surgeries and 2 hip surgeries, trying to allow his body to deal with his bone growth along the way. Like, so it's just a constant battle, but respiratory has been his new area. As I said to the doctor, I said, I'm a respiratory virgin. I know nothing about this area. Ask me about bones and hips and spines and I can tell you it all, but I said respiratory is all new to us. So Evan is now on oxygen. He gets night nurses because he could stop breathing his heart, or he could relax so much during the night sleep that he requires an extra dose of oxygen to pull him back up again. But as soon as he closes his eyes, oxygen has to go on him. And so, he needs 24-hour care. But look, he's a handsome, amazing-looking teenager. And from the outside, he looks absolutely fantastic. But in the inside, he's not well, you know. But that's fine. We accepted that. And
in terms of communication and...
I had to leave the room because if he saw me on the phone, he'd be screaming at me, laughing. So he communicates through his eyes and through laughter and through crying. So that's it. He's no other use of communication, but you learn to understand his, no more than a baby, you learn to understand their cries, whether they're hungry or they're in pain or they've wind. So similar to Evan, you learn to understand what he's trying to say. But look, you get a smile every day. As soon as you go into him, he smiles. He was in ICU for 10 days 2 years ago, and I have a picture of him the day we came out of ICU with a huge big smile. So he doesn't allow you to have pity. He doesn't allow you to feel sorry for yourself. He actually just keeps us living. Do you know, he makes us function every day of the week, like, and stuff, do you know. So, and again, the support we get from Laura Lynn allows us to do that. So they're always at the end of the phone for us. They're always, and they always promote live life, do you know, although, as I said, it is a life limiting, but they always promote and go, look, live life, live it today, make your memories today. We don't know, no more than anybody in life, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, so you live life. And that's
Paul,
what we do.
To say he communicates, a 16-year-old, gorgeous, gorgeous, handsome boy, he communicates through his eyes, his laughter and his crying.
Yeah. And anyone that has come across him are in awe of him, anybody that he's met. We always say that he was saved initially all them years ago was to teach people. And he has gone into Temple Street is our hospital, and he goes into Temple Street, and we have to tell the doctors, think outside the box. So that he just teaches anybody he meets, any nurse, any doctor, they think, oh, well, I think this is it. And we'll say, actually, no, it's not. You have to think outside the box. This isn't fitting with Evans at all, like, you know. And any nurse he's met, he prefers blondes. He's a gas teenager.
Okay.
He'll smile away at blondes and he'll give the darker nurse a different look, like, and stuff, you know. And and each nurse have their own way of communicating with him, and they know what he likes. He loves music. He'd sing all day and react to music. We even did a Spotify playlist for him at home, like, so that we knew the songs he liked. So it was an experiment during COVID to see did he like the same music as his twin brother. And in some songs they did, but the majority they didn't. So.
Okay. Oh, that's a remarkable story of survival and endurance and warmth and embrace and hope and soothing.
Yeah,
and laughter
yeah.
and crying and eyes and singing and pain and
And look, Laura Lynn, they have their Christmas events, you know, and our kids love that because they mingle with other families and they see that they're not no different to any other family that has a child with special needs. Like, and Laura Lynn allowed that. They promote that, you know, and it's all about party, you know, and survival and enjoyment and stuff, you know. And look, they do the care that's second nature to them, but it's the extra. You go into hospital and hospital is hospital, but you go into a hospice and it is the hotel for kids. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. So it allows us when we get our 3 nights that we don't have to worry about that, and we'll have packed up two suitcases between machinery and everything to help them breathe. And so Evan would have respiratory, so we would get nebulizers, and then we have to tap him constantly, trying to shift everything on his lungs, and then we have a machine that actually makes his lungs cough, and then we have a machine that sucks out some of the phlegm at the back of his throat because he's not able to cough it up. So that has just become part of our daily life, you know. Like, we don't falter at that anymore. The kids, we now have them trained up to help out, that if I'm not in the kitchen when Evan needs a suction, that they can do it, you know. Yeah. So I suppose what we take as very normal life, other people are amazed and going, oh my God, how would you do that? Yeah. But you just do it. And again, look, Laura Lynn allow you to do that, and they teach you how to cope with that and show you that, look, this is life. You live life. You have to make happy memories. And that's what we do.
Okay.
So, no,
oh my
amazing,
God!
What an
incredible testament. 14 minutes you've been talking. I have a few. What an incredible testament. No, in a beautiful way about your boy, and your two boys, Evan and Luke and Ruby.
And Paul, husband Paul.
Paul.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, and what a remarkable group of five that you make, the three children and the two adults.
Yeah, look,
and as you say, it's all in the warm embrace. I know Temple Street crumbling, all the, but for the stage that you're at, the Laurel Lane Children's Hospital seemed to be, as I was struck yesterday by the phrase, a lot of people said that I'm with Laurel Lane. And what they mean is they're part of the Laurel Lane family. So it's
amazing. Great. We've met volunteers over the years and they're amazing because they'll come up and they'll go, what can we do for you? Yeah, you know, like they don't stand back and they don't stare and they don't, like a lot of people can do, you know, but they actually just get stuck in and they're going, hey, we're here to have a good time. What do you want to do? And there was one year in Leopardstown, they had the ukulele band from Dunleary were out having a show. Fantastic. And then we went to Sea Point for a swim one night and like that we had to, one of us had to stay with Evan and Gwyn. And a lady came over to me, she went, this is Evan. Do you remember my husband? He was in the ukulele band and I was dancing with him.
Brilliant,
like. So it's a fantastic organisation that opens up doors to you as well. Like, you know, they're not there to.
And I think I was struck yesterday by one gorgeous man who said, I'd never heard of Laurel Lane. And so many people are, I hope, opening up to the great work that Laurel Lane do. Okay, you're not getting another 14 minutes, Paula. You've had your time. It's now 17. You're brilliant. And I could hear the silence even on the phones because people were engrossed with your story and your beautiful Luke's story, your brother and Ruby, and then Evan's story and his campaign, and then your husband, Paul. So
I couldn't ring in. Do you know?
Oh, no, you're brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
It's only 17 minutes of a thank you
absolutely.
To them because they're absolutely amazing. Do you know?
And it's for us. It's a privilege to hear from you. It really is, and it's a privilege, as we say, to get that phone call nearly 3 weeks ago now from this couple who we'd never heard of, David and Imelda, saying we want to really try and make a big effort for Laurel Lane. We've put aside €200,000. If Liveline listeners, we liberate that money with the help of Liveline listeners, and we will double every single cent that comes in from Liveline listeners. So I don't know. As I say, we were 150 about an hour ago. I haven't got an update yet. But anyway, these are the updates, Paula. Laurel Lane, text the word Laurel Lane, one word, to 50300. That gives £4 on the text, but it gives £8. Because Dave and Imelda double it.
Yeah.
You can go on to laurellane.ie and the donation page is there. If you want to reference, they prompt you to say where you heard about it. I think it should be David and Imelda, but I think it's Liveline that comes up. If you want to acknowledge that, you can. There's also a phone number, people which we had to set up during yesterday's programme. The demand was so great. People who don't have access to credit cards or mobile phones, 1890 998919, and then it's if you want to send a check, it's the Laurel Lane Children's Hospice, Leopardstown, Dublin 18. Now I said that I gave out that address yesterday for the post, but apparently it turned out that so many people arrived up at Laurel Lane to make donations that they had to, given the COVID regulations, they had to set up a little space in the car park to let people make their donations, which is incredible. I wish you well, Paula. I know you're going to get a little break next week, thanks to Laurel Lane. To Paula, Paul. Yeah. Luke, Ruby, and above all, dearest, dearest, handsome Evan. What a gorgeous boy. Eyes, laughter, crying. What a gorgeous, gorgeous boy. May he keep on singing for a long, long time to come, Paula.
Please, God.
Please, God. Please, God.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
As you heard yesterday, we spent the whole programme talking about Laurel Lane and people contacting us who've been in touch with the Laurel Lane Children's Hospice Foundation and all the wonderful work they were doing. I think that was 75 minutes yesterday. I think today we did 25 minutes, and it was all sparked by this contact we have from this couple, David and Imelda, who said, if you would help us to help Laurel Lane, we will match whatever Liveline listeners give. Now, a lot of people yesterday wanted to find out how And where is Jane McKenna? And it was Jane and her husband Brendan who lost her two beautiful daughters, Laura when she was 4 and Lynn when she was 15, and they died within 2 years of each other. Jane McKenna, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
And how are you keeping, Jane?
Not too bad at all, Joe. I'm doing well. I count myself lucky with the health I have and what we do have in our lives, you know, compared to so many in the times we're in. So we're fine.
And Jane, did yourself and Brendan know back in 2001 and then the hospice was opened in 2011? Did you know what you were getting yourselves into?
No, it's strange that you ask that question, because I remember when I sat in my kitchen talking to somebody about the idea, a friend of mine, Aunt Brendan, was there, and he just, you know, he kind of came in on it. I suppose he'd come in from work or whatever. Brendan was a postman. He's retired now. But he just said afterwards, I think it was more so than at the time, do you really want to do this? Do you know what you're doing? So I suppose I didn't think too much. It kind of almost started itself, really, Joe. And it was sort of directly through Lynn, really, at the end.
And was it that you had seen, through your own personal experience, the lack of specialist care for children with life-limiting conditions? It was born out of your own experience.
Not really, I suppose, in my case, strangely. It was just that at the very end, Lynn had... I was talking to Rebecca earlier, and I told her, like, Lynn had a wonderful 3 weeks, which sounds strange to say. She almost got 3 weeks, but she knew she was dying because everything had to be straightforward with her. And her consultant, Dingus, told her directly, and he asked me afterwards, was it the right thing to do? But it was, because he was always direct with her, and she wanted it that way. So, but she had a wonderful 3 weeks. Physically, 2 weeks, she was able to do so much, and people did so much for us. We'll never forget that. But she wanted to die peacefully at home. Now, thankfully, she got that wish.
Yeah.
But it was afterwards, I thought, if she hadn't, you know, and there were reasons, she might have had to go back to Crumlin. Now, Crumlin were wonderful, as everybody knows, and we were so grateful for everything they did. But she didn't want to die there. And I suppose, you know, I think everybody would say hospital, not hospital if it can be, home or hospice, which is really home from home.
Hospice,
so I did the research, and I was doing the research looking at the death, you know, that opening a hospice for it kind of dying, which I suppose even in those days hospice was more about dying and possibly older people, maybe not necessarily. You know, hospice has changed so much anyway.
Yeah.
It's about living, really, and living the rest of whatever you've left of your life in any situation. But when I did the research all around the UK, Littlebridge House was one particular one I went to several times in the Devon area, and I realised then what it was really all about, the respite and the care of 24-hour care. I didn't realise that, and I just thought, I really have to do this now, because that's what it's really about, and the choice at the end, if home isn't possible.
And Jane, did you realise, I did, but not to the extent, did you realise the extent that we, well, maybe I'm, that we discovered yesterday and today, the extent of love and outpouring of joy and support and belief that people have in the Laura Lynn Hospice and the Laura Lynn Foundation? It really is incredible, incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what, Joe, it really gives me a lift to hear the families. I know a lot of the families and past families in the early days, and I know of a lot of the families, and my heart goes out to them. I've been thinking about them a lot in these times, and I always remember the little ones that are gone as well with my own. But it just gives me a real lift to actually hear it, because people are always saying to me, you know, about what you've done. Now, I didn't do it. Everybody that got this hospice got the money to build it with me in the early days, and with people around me and all of that, you know. But it's just so wonderful to hear. I do know, but when you hear it really said and the stories, it really brings it home to me, and it actually gives me a great lift. Now, there were a few tears when I was listening yesterday as well, because it's very difficult. But I just feel like that it's very much about, like, giving the breaks and also making the best of the child's life, making those memories, and then for the siblings as well, it's wonderful, all the stuff
that's
come
across
on.
Lot, yeah.
Yeah, there's just so much, and the memories are so important, because that's the one thing that we have of our girls, and like that in Lynn's last week in particular, weeks. I mean, those memories that we have are so wonderful, and they really do bring joy. Well, I miss my girls every minute of every day. But,
I know they're never a minute, never more than a minute away from your thoughts and love. But the 31st of August is Laura's anniversary.
Yeah, and it really is the hardest one. Each anniversary and each birthday, of course, and Christmases and all of that, you know, it's insane for anyone who's lost a child. I think the loss of a child is probably the worst loss. It's not to take away from anyone else's loss of anybody and, you know, their loved ones. But, yeah, the 31st of August, it was the day. Well, I always kind of say the 30th, strangely, because that's the day Laura had her final, her third and final surgery to repair the heart. It was tautology of Fallot, but she did have complications and things. But in general, she was a happy little child, and if you'd seen her, you wouldn't have known there was anything wrong with her. And she got there, and we'd every hope that she'd make it.
And you, but by the way, Jane, and it's just even the phrase now, Laura Lynn, your two beautiful daughters, their names joined like that, and the meaning that it has in Ireland now, which is so positive and giving. Yeah. Do you know Dave and Imelda, this couple that contacted us?
I actually don't.
Okay.
And I think
incredible.
I will tell them now if they're listening. I'll be sending them a little card through fundraising in Laura Lynn. But very grateful.
We discovered not through them, by the way, they have been really significant supporters of Laura Lynn, but they wanted this one to be different in terms of they had got together 200,000, put in a bank draft and said, please, if Liveline can, listeners can match, we will match every single euro. You know, Sarah O'Callaghan from the wonderful Laura Lynn Foundation is on the other line. Sarah, what do you want to say to Jane McKenna?
Hi, Jane. It's been a humbling few days for us in Laura Lynn, and between the stories of our families, the incredible generosity of David and Imelda, the inspiration that Jane is here with us today, but the passion of you and the show and the outpouring of support that we have received from your listeners who are all across the country. And I have a bit of news if you'd like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we stand right now, and I know the gifts keep coming, but we have broken the 200,000 euro mark.
Oh, magic. Oh, that's fantastic.
So we've actually made 203,172 euro.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And that's what you processed so far. 203,172. So we're over the 200. So I'm going to call in David and Imelda. Imelda.
How you do?
Well done, you. It was an incredible idea you had, because that figure of over 200,000 is now over 400,000.
Well, Joe, it's just amazing. And all your listeners have just been fantastic. And thank you. We just was giving it a go, and I'm absolutely gobsmacked that we've reached even above it. So thrilled, needless to say. Absolutely thrilled.
Thanks, Imelda, so much.
You're so welcome. We were out there a few weeks ago, and what you all is to achieve and do for everybody is so humbling, and it just left us standing there frozen, to be honest with you. We were just gobsmacked with your whole setup.
It's extraordinarily humbling to be involved in this. It really is. Dave, how are you, old pal? Who I don't know your second name. Rebecca won't tell me. Rebecca, but so the 200,000 you will pass over ASAP, because we've passed over the limit as well.
We've them in the morning.
Brilliant. Well, we've 203 collected. Our listeners, and through the incredible stories.
Ordinary people got together to make this happen.
In this difficult time where people were under pressure. Yes, Dave.
If I could interrupt, I just think that the whole bloody country owes Jane and her husband to death across the year. What she's done is phenomenal.
Honestly, can I just say, it's really more, you know, it's everybody that did so much, honestly, and I just want to say a huge big thanks to everybody and to Dave and Imelda for this in particular. Thank you so much, and to you and your team as well, Joe and Orty.
And in fond memory of Laura and Elaine and all the other children.
Thank you very
much. God rest them.
Thank you.
I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.